We're starting a new message series this morning called Lord, I Have a Problem. Anybody have a problem this morning? Anybody have two, three, four? Anybody have more than you've got fingers and toes, right? Well, you know, in this series, we're going to be looking at the various problems that we face, and we're going to see how God helps us with our problems through our new life in Jesus Christ. And right off the bat, let me just tell you, we all have problems. You're not the only one. I know it sometimes feels that way. We all have problems. The book of Job says, man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. And Christians are not exempt. If anyone ever said this to you, come to Jesus and all your problems will be over, they told you wrong, okay? God never promised that. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. That means problems. In this world, you're going to have problems. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So we all have problems, but as Christians, we also have Jesus, and that makes all the difference. So yeah, you're going to have trouble in this world, but Jesus has overcome the world. That means Jesus can help you with your problems. You see, Jesus came not only to forgive you of your sins, but also to give you a whole new life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, one of my favorite verses, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And so God offers you this new life through Jesus Christ, and it's abundant life. It's a life that's full and free. Jesus died not only to save you from your sins, but also to help you with your problems. And you might wonder, well, how does Jesus do that? I'm here on earth. He's up in heaven. How does Jesus help me with my problems? And what we're going to do is we're going to answer that question in general today. Today's sort of the overall big picture view. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to look at a series of specific problems that we all face and how Jesus helps you with each and every one of them. There is an outline in your worship guide. I encourage you to take that out to follow along on our message today. So first of all, let's talk about the sources of our problems. The sources of our problems. And there are three main sources for the problems that we encounter in our lives. First, you have the problems that come from within. The problems that come from within me. Due to my own sin, I can't blame anyone else for those ones. That's my fault, right? Problems that come from within me due to my own sin. There are the problems that come from outside me through trials and temptations. And then thirdly, there are what we would call relational problems, problems that come from conflict with other people. So let's take a look at each of these three now together. First, the problems I face in my life because of my own sin. The Bible says all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, therefore we are all broken people inside. And that brokenness is the cause of so many of the problems in our lives. Anger, envy, worry, depression, fear, pride. See, these are problems that all come from our brokenness within, a brokenness that Jesus came to heal, as we will be seeing throughout this series. So those are the problems that come from within me because of my sin. Next, there are the problems that come from outside me, right? These are the trials and the temptations that I face in life. Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible tells us that our three main enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The flesh, we already talked about. That's the broken part inside me, my sin. But the world and the devil, those are those outside forces that also bring us so much trouble. No one ever said it would be easy. We are fallen people living in a fallen world. Therefore, we can expect to face many difficulties in life. But once again, Jesus can help you with the trials and temptations of life, as we will also see. And then there's a third source of problems in our lives, and that is conflict with others. These are the relational problems we experience at home, or at school or at work, or let's be honest, sometimes even at church, right? It can happen anywhere, right? Once again, this is the problem of one sinner, okay, butting up against another sinner. We're all sinners, and so we have to relate to each other, and so we have relational problems. The book of James describes it this way. James writes, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" So my flesh, the problems within me come out, and they come up against you, and the problems within you. And we have conflict. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet. But you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. And so we are broken people living in a broken world who experience broken relationships. It's no wonder we have so many problems. But you know, it was not always this way. If you go back to the beginning, if you go back to the creation account in Genesis, we find that God originally created mankind without any problems. No problems at all. First of all, Adam and Eve were created morally pure, which means they had no sin. That takes care of the first source of problems, doesn't it? When God created Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The book of Ecclesiastes says, God made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. Adam and Eve were created without any sin. That means they were not broken inside, and therefore they did not experience any of the problems that you and I experience because of the sin in our lives. They're created morally pure. Secondly, they lived in a protected environment. A protected environment. The Bible tells us, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed." The Garden of Eden was a protected environment, which means they were protected from trials. There was no sickness, no suffering, no hunger, no pain. No hurricanes. They had no problems from within, and they had no problems from without. God created them morally pure, and he put them in a protected environment. And not only that, but they also had no conflict. No conflict means no hate, no arguments, no fighting, no wars. They enjoyed perfect peace with God and with each other. They had perfect peace with God. Genesis tells us how God would visit with them in the garden. I love this verse, Genesis 3:8. "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And so God would come, and they would experience his presence in such a beautiful and precious way. We can do that today, can't we, through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. But they had that in the garden. They had perfect peace with God. They had perfect peace with each other. Genesis 2:25, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Complete honesty, complete transparency, perfect peace, no conflict. And so Adam and Eve were created without any problems. They were morally pure. They lived in a protected environment, and they enjoyed perfect peace with God and with each other. They had no sin, no trials, and no conflict. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a world with no sin, no trials, and no conflict? Can you imagine a life where none of us were broken inside, there were no problems in the world around you, and where you got along with everyone and everyone got along with you? That's what Adam and Eve had. And that is what Adam and Eve lost when they were deceived and sinned against God in the garden. But you see, they did not lose it just for themselves. They lost it for all of us. And that's why we all have problems today. So we've talked about the three main sources of our problems. We've seen how things were completely different in the beginning at creation. Now let's talk about how Jesus helps you with your problems. Once again, there are three main ways Jesus helps you with your problems. Each of these three ways corresponds with those three main sources that we've already looked at, the three main sources for your problems. We're going to walk through them again, but now we're going to bring Jesus into the picture and see how Jesus changes everything. First of all, when you become a Christian, you have a new nature. A new nature. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So how does Jesus help us with that first set of problems, the problems within you due to sin? He comes to dwell within you through the Holy Spirit. See, that's what salvation is all about. You are born again. You become a new person. You are forgiven. You are cleansed from your sins, and you are made new in Christ. You know, before you accepted Christ, you had a nature that naturally chose the wrong. A nature that naturally chose sin. But now in Christ, you have a new nature with new desires. And yes, you still have to deal with indwelling sin, but there's a new you now. There's a new you. That's why Paul can tell us in Ephesians 4. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's a great illustration that I heard about this. I love this. It goes like this. Suppose you lived in a certain house, okay? And where you lived in this house, whenever you were heading home, you always turned left at an intersection. You got to the intersection, you always turn left. Now, this is my left, but I'll do it your way, okay? You always turned left at the intersection. That's how you get home, right? So day in and day out, you're driving home, you come to that intersection. Which way do you go? You turn left. But then one day, you move to a new home that's over here. And so that means when you come to that intersection, if you want to get home, you got to turn right now. Right instead of left. And you really mean to, right? I mean, you really want to turn right from now on. But at first you keep forgetting, right? You get to that intersection and the old habits creep in and you just turn left. You keep turning left. But you see, you don't live there anymore. You don't live there, so you can't stay there. You can't stay left. You have a new home. And so every time you make that mistake of turning left, you eventually have to do a 180 and you go back to your new home. But as time goes by, you find yourself making that mistake of turning left less and less, right? And you develop a new pattern in your life where you're turning right more and more until you start turning right every time. You have a new home. And so everything changes. That's what it's like in the Christian life. When you become a Christian, God gives you a new nature. You have a new address. You're no longer at home with sin in your life. And yeah, there are those times when you come to that intersection and yeah, you turn left. Sometimes you forget about it. You're just not paying attention. Sometimes you get there and you say, I know I live there, but I'm just going to go left. Get stubborn about it, right? We all do that. So you still turn left, but you don't live there anymore. And so what do you eventually have to do? You do the 180. You confess your sin. You repent of your sin. That's what repentance means. You do a 180. You repent of your sin, and you come running back to God. And over time, you find yourself turning left less and less as the pattern of your new nature settles in. The Bible calls this the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You see, you can never make all these changes you need to make. You can never do that on your own. But through the Holy Spirit, Jesus starts changing you from the inside out. How does Jesus help you with the problems that come from the sin within you? The answer to your problems within is Jesus in you. Jesus in you. You have a new nature, and Jesus dwells within you through the Holy Spirit. Next, how does Jesus help you with the problems that come from outside you, right? The trials and temptations we face in life. Well, if the answer to your problems within is Jesus in you, the answer to your problems from without is Jesus with you. Jesus with you. You have a new nature to fight the problems from within, and now you also have a new helper to help you with the problems from without. Jesus promised us, Matthew 28, he said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is with you. Isaiah 51, God says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so you have this new source of strength to help you with the trials and temptations of life. Why? Because Jesus is with you every step of the way. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will strengthen you and help you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. So you have a new nature. That's Jesus in you. You have a new helper. That's Jesus with you. And then thirdly, you have a new intermediary. That's Jesus between you and others. Jesus came not only to save us from our sin, but also to bring reconciliation with each other. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Whenever you are experiencing conflict with someone, you need to bring Jesus into the situation. You need to put Jesus between you and the other person. You need to allow Christ to bring peace into the situation. Now, of course, unless both of you are doing that, there's not going to be peace, but you can do your part and go first. Don't wait for the other person to start. And trust me, when you see Jesus between you and the other person, you are going to treat them a whole lot differently. It's hard to be angry with someone when you have Jesus between you. It's hard to be jealous of someone when you have Jesus between you. And it is impossible to hate someone when you have Jesus between you. Now, of course, the most important role that Jesus plays as mediator is that role between us and God. 1 Timothy 2 says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." We were at conflict with God because of our sin. Jesus stepped into the gap. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He reconciled us to God the Father. He is indeed our peace. And so, yeah, we all have problems in life. But Jesus came to help you with your problems. What's the answer to the problems that come from within you because of sin? The answer is you have a new nature, Jesus in you. What's the answer to the problems that come from outside you, those trials and temptations you face in life? You have a new helper, Jesus with you. What's the answer to your relational problems, the conflicts you face with others? You have a new intermediary, Jesus between you and others. So over the next number of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to be moving out and we're going to start looking at specific problems that we face in life. And how does Jesus help you with each of those specific problems? So we're going to be looking at the following topics. Next week will be anger. And we'll look at envy and worry, depression, fear, pride, self-image, addiction, and abuse. All very important problems, all problems that we all deal with at different times. Psalm 34:19 says, "A righteous man may have many troubles." but the Lord delivers him from them all. Have you got problems? I've got good news for you. Jesus can help you with your problems. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning. It teaches us so much. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have you, that you are our Savior, and that you came not only to save us from our sin, but to help us with our problems. And we have many, Lord. We are broken people living in a broken world, trying to work our way through broken relationships and how we need you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the answer to every source of our problems, that we can come to you, that we may have many troubles, many problems, but you've promised you will deliver us from them all. We just need to come to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.